All right. Based on recently passed California state legislature and the governor signed Assembly Bill AB 361, which amends the government code to allow Brown Act bodies to continue to meet remotely if there is a proclaimed state of emergency and the state or local officials recommend measures to promote social distancing, the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board will temporarily provide virtual access through a webinar and/or call-in option. Interested parties have been noticed of this virtual hearing board meeting and have been provided instructions on how to participate. Members of the public are afforded an opportunity to speak on any agenda item before its consideration. Persons wishing to speak may do so remotely via Zoom or telephone. To provide public comment via desktop, laptop, or smartphone, click on the raised hand at the bottom of the screen. This will signal to the host that you would like to provide public comment and will be unmuted when it is your turn to speak. Persons may address the hearing board on any matter listed on the agenda via telephone or Zoom connection. Matters not listed on the agenda may be addressed during the public comment period of the agenda. Thank you, and that concludes the housekeeping.
Great, thank you very much. Well, I will first of all wish everyone a happy new year and then call to order the January 5th, 2022 meeting at the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Certainly. Dr. Colomé?
Here.
Mr. Dressler?
Here.
Mr. Peters?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Saperstein? And Chair Cox?
So
Have a quorum.
we have a quorum. Thank you very much. So the first item of business is the reconsideration of the circumstances of COVID-19 state of emergency. So will the clerk please read the item into the records?
Reconsider the circumstances of the COVID-19 state of emergency. One, reconsider the circumstances of the COVID-19 state of emergency. Two, consider whether state or local officials continue to impose or recommend measures to promote social distancing. Three, find that the legislative body has reconsidered the circumstances of the state of emergency and that state or local officials continue to impose or recommend measures to promote social distancing. And four, direct staff to continue to notice and hold hearings as remote hearings consistent with Government Code Section 54953E3. Bless you.
Thank you. That was me. I'm on.
Great. Thank you. And you came on just in time to proceed with the COVID-19 report.
Okay, excellent. So I'm here to let you all know that the state of emergency continues, and Dr. Ansah continues to recommend social distancing, especially at this time. So my recommendation to the board is that you reconsider that both of these, both the emergency order and the social distancing recommendation remain in effect. And if you so desire to continue to meet remotely, then take a vote on that and have the clerk schedule the next meeting remotely and continue this one remotely.
All right, thank you very much. So let me open up to first of all, we'll go to non-board members. Does anyone have any discussion or comments on either continuing to be remote or having us in person?
Oh, is that a request for a public comment?
Yes.
We've received no public
Sorry.
comment on this item. Sorry about
All
that.
right. All right. Thank you about that. And then also, I'd like to open it up also to anyone else who isn't on the board but supports and everything. Do you have any comments or preferences? Okay, any discussion with the board on preferences?
I just have a question for Ms. Novak, whether the governor is considering an automatic extension given the continuation of particularly this current surge.
You're muted, Maria.
The law is as is. It's written, it's amended the Brown Act. So, as long as the governor does not, as long as his state of emergency order remains in place And there is a social distancing recommendation by the state health officer or the county health officer or city health officer. If you desire, you can continue to meet remotely. The caveat is you have to make those, you have to reconsider those two every 30 days. Which I'm hoping that they'll amend because it's beginning to be quite an issue with a lot of counties and the boards to meet instead of once a month, that wording every 30 days. Everyone's in agreement that that's just a little bit too onerous and most likely not necessary. But as it stands now, that is the requirement.
And then if it helps at all, our next regularly scheduled meeting falls within 30 days. Okay. So we wouldn't have to have a special meeting this time around. It would just be a regular meeting.
Well, my view is given where we are in the current surge, that it's going to be very prudent for the next 30 days at least to continue meeting remotely.
Thank you. Anything else from any of the other board members? All right, well then, I kind of agree with you on that. So can I get someone to make a motion that we continue to meet remotely?
I'll move that we continue to meet remotely for at least the next 30 days. And that we make the findings that we have reconsidered the circumstances we have made all the findings necessary under section 54953E3.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Lorena, will you go ahead and call the roll call vote?
Dr. Colomay?
Yes.
Mr. Dressler?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
And Chair Cox?
Yes.
Motion passes.
So we have the motion passes. Good. So we will see each other again next month on these exciting video links. Next item of business is the election of chair and vice chair for 2022. Is there any discussion? Mr. Peters?
Yes, thank you, Chair Cox. I spoke with Lorena yesterday. Perhaps as I am the vice chair, it would be my turn to slot in as chair. But I explained to her a little rethinking of leadership in committees and boards such as this. I recently led an effort in a City of Santa Barbara advisory group to shake up the natural order of leadership. My motivation was to bring people to the leadership position that might not have had long experience in that particular arena anyway. So I would like to decline any nomination to move. I've been vice chair two times, so I think that counts to kind of add those together, and I'm fine. Instead, may I nominate Dr. Colomay? Thank you.
Dr. Colomay, do you have any comments?
Well, my immediate comment is that I am a new enough member to this committee that we have not yet met in person. I'm still feeling like I'm learning the ropes and the rhythm of the hearing board, and actually would prefer not to take it on at this point.
Okay. Mr. Dressler, what are your thoughts?
I'm fine with going the regular succession, but if Mr. Peters would not do that, doesn't want to do that. And you would prefer not to continue. I'd be willing to do it. But I mean, it's not necessary for me to do. But I understand Dr. Colomay's. Dr. Colomay, would you like to take a whack at being vice chair?
That would be fine.
Mr. Peters, would you change your motion to nominate Dr. Colomay as vice chair?
Yes, I would. May I at the same time nominate you, Mr. Dressler, as chair?
I'd be willing to do that.
Thank you. So I move that Mr. Dressler become the chair and Dr. Colomay become vice chair. Thank you.
Okay, good. So how about we make, so I have a motion for that that slate, for lack of a better word. I've been the chair now for a while, and I am more than excited to pass on the opportunity to someone else for a while. And so I will second that motion for Mr. Dessler's chair, Mr. Colomay as the vice. So I have a motion and a second. So if I can get a roll call vote for that.
Dr. Colomay?
Yes.
Mr. Dressler?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
And Chair Cox?
Yes.
Motion passes.
So normally I would like to have a gavel or a pen or something to hand off. So in the virtual world, you can imagine that I'm giving you a gavel. So you may take charge of this meeting and move out.
Thank you. I'm glad I printed out the script. I guess we can just move on with that. The next item of business is, the next item of business is the approval of the minutes for the December 1st, 2021 regular meeting and the December 20th, 2021 special meeting. Is there any discussion? Can I have a motion?
I move to accept.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Would you please call the roll, Lorena?
Dr. Colomay?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Okay, the next item is announcements and staff reports. Are there any announcements or reports from the staff?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the hearing board. There are no staff reports or announcements at this time.
Okay, the next item is for public comment. I will open the a meeting to public comment for members of the public to speak on any item that's not on the agenda. Lorena, are there any requests to speak?
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any requests to speak.
Do any of the board members have a public comment that they would like to share with us today? Hearing none, I will close the public comment period. The next item is public hearings. There are two cases today. Will the clerk please read the first case into the record?
Item G1, case number 2020-04-M1, to consider a petition for modification of regular variance from District Rules 325E, 331D through I, 359D2B, and 206, Part 70 permit to operate 9109-R4, conditions 9C1B5, 9C1B6, 9C2A, 9C2B, 9C2C, 9C2D, 9C6B2, 9C6B3, 9C6B4, and 9C9 submitted on December 6, 2021 for maintenance and monitoring requirements. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition on at Platform Houchin, located on offshore lease track OCS P166, approximately 7 miles southeast from the city of Santa Barbara.
All right, so now we'll do the swearing in. Witnesses, including the district staff and members of the public for this case, will now be sworn in. After taking the oath, you'll be asked to state your name and affiliation to the case. You will be testifying today. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Please state your name and then affirm.
John Gardette, Beacon West, I do.
Keith Winnell, Beacon West, I do.
Amy Long with the district, and I do.
Eric Kett with the district, and I do.
Caitlin McNally with the district, I do.
Is that all of the testimony? Okay. With that, let's see. This time we'll ask the petitioner from Beacon West Energy Group to make their case. During the report, please make sure that you include a response to all six findings that the hearing board will have to make.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, board. Happy holidays to y'all. Hope it all is all well. Seems like everybody's healthy. Thanks for that COVID update. That was helpful. We've got ours planned here for this week as well. And congratulations, Mr. Dressler, for your promotion, I guess. All right. I'm going to share my screen. Hopefully all goes well. I'm going to start with Houchin. I believe that's the first on the agenda. Is that correct? Okay, just checking. All right. Can you all see my screen?
No, not yet.
All right. Let me try here. The challenges of, let's see.
Green button at the bottom.
Yeah, share screen. There we go. That's helpful. Thank you.
We're a Teams company. There you go.
Yep. There you go. Got it.
You see that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so talking about Platform Houchin on this first petition.
Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Maria Novak, but on the, and I could be wrong, but on the agenda, I believe it says Platform Hogan. Can somebody verify that for me? I can't get a hold of my agenda right now.
For item G1, it does say a Platform Houchin.
Okay, then I was, okay, excellent. Sorry then.
No apologies necessary, all good. Okay, Platform Hogan. So this is an update. Starting off this petition discussion regarding the variance for Platform Houchin. Where's my share? Okay. Things are catching up here. Okay, so this screen here, facility status. This is an excerpt from the partial stay agreement between Boehm Bessie and ConocoPhillips and the other order recipients involved with Platforms Hogan and Houchin. I just request the district be aware that in view of ConocoPhillips and the other order recipients, they do not consider themselves the operators of these platforms or the leaseholders for the platforms. I know that on the permits, it's designated that ConocoPhillips and Beacon West are the operators, but there is some disagreement to that. So I just was asked to view this. I'm not trying to get into any kind of a legal discussion today. It was just a present the information and move on from there. So, current facility and equipment status. As I mentioned, neither Beacon West Energy Group or ConocoPhillips are the owners of the assets. We are neither the, and we are not the operators of the assets on record, according to Bohm or Vesey. There are currently no produced hydrocarbons. Those were shut in by the previous operator, Signal Hill, in 2019. There's been no production since 2019. All the wells are shut in, surface safety valves are closed, and the wellhead valves are also isolated. There are currently four wells on Houchin that are bleeding by the isolation, the wellhead isolation valves, and are currently venting to atmosphere. Those venting operations are being monitored and tracked and reported to the district on a monthly basis. We understand that all the oil and gas production equipment have been flushed with seawater, depressured and isolated by the previous operator Signal Hill. We also understand that the pipelines to shore and between Hogan and Houchin are also isolated and have been flushed with seawater by the former operator Signal Hill. There's currently no potable water on platform Houchin. And there is no marine sanitary system on platform Houchin. So what that means is that there's no bathroom facilities available. So the operators currently and anybody working on Houchin are using the crew boat back and forth as best they can. There's no operating cranes on platform Houchin. The platform flare system is out of service and non-operational. There is significant platform corrosion, which precludes access to support structures, walkways, handrails, decking, stairways, et cetera. And I'll provide a bit more information about that as we go forward. Currently, Beacon West is manning the platform on a daily basis. There is no night operations. Our platform operators are only performing basic maintenance and monitoring on platform Houchin. Continuing with facility status and maintenance monitoring, our role, Beacon West's role through ConocoPhillips is the safety of personnel during necessary ongoing maintenance and monitoring activities, maintaining access for essential personnel only, monitoring and maintaining assets to reduce any loss of containment, managing the permits for all usable equipment, primarily that's through the air permit and the NPDES permit, which is the permit that allows us to discharge water to the ocean. Monitoring and reporting of the wells, venting to atmosphere, necessary maintenance for the preservation of the platform for decommissioning. That's a very difficult effort, as you can imagine. Establishing limited crane availability for monitoring and activities. And I mentioned there are no operating cranes on platform Houchin at this time. And ongoing inspection and monitoring. Sorry about that. This first set of pictures just gives you a sense of the condition of platform Houchin. The upper left-hand picture is a picture of one of the wellheads on Houchin. The picture towards the middle, upper middle, is a raised platform deck that's within the well bay of platform Houchin. And the picture to the right of that is another picture of the well bay area. You can see all the well heads there, kind of towards the middle, lower middle of that picture. And you can see the handrail that runs down through the right-hand side, gives you a sense of the length of that well bay and the number of wells that are stacked in there and so forth. Bottom left-hand picture is a picture of a hole in the platform Houchin flare boom, which obviously makes the boom and the flare non-operational. Picture in the lower middle is just a picture of some decking in a different area of the platform. Notice the heavy corrosion on the decking. And the picture on the bottom right is a close-up view of a couple of the wellheads on platform Halchen and their severely deteriorated condition. Notice the heavy corrosion around the flanges and bolts and those areas, which are going to make things very challenging going forward. Some additional pictures. Upper left is this is the swing rope landing deck. It's got heavy corrosion on the grating. Obviously the handrails are very heavily corroded and damaged, and so is the steps leading up off of that. Additional grating in the middle there, dilapidated engine to the right. Lower left, just evidence of very heavy corrosion on the platform structural members. There in the lower middle, heavy corrosion to the platform decking and other areas, and similar on the far right is a deck that's operated. It's got heavy corrosion on the handrails and the decking and so forth. And you know, obviously the picture I'm trying to present here to the board is that platform Halchen is in severe severely corroded and dilapidated condition. It makes our daily operations functions out there extremely challenging. And that's why access is very limited at this time. Wanted to present, there's been very little work on platform Halchen over 2021. The primary reason for that is there are no operating cranes. So there's no functional way for the project team to get any materials onto Halchen until we get the cranes repaired. So through 2021, most of the effort for Halchen has been the engineering and procurement effort associated with obtaining cranes and getting cranes repaired for Halchen. So in this slide is our current project planning schedule. You'll see on the bottom section of this slide, the cranes are listed for both Hogan and Halchen. And you can see there lines 43 through 58. You've got unit crane reinstallation, unit crane removal, unit crane reinstallation, portable crane installation, and move the portable crane from Hogan. So those are all primary projects. There's a lot of secondary and supplemental projects that are all rolled up into those primary projects. So hence the gaps in the calendar. But in order to provide you with a calendar that's readable and something that we can maybe talk about, we needed to roll all those up. So apologize for the gaps in the calendar, but you can see the yellow bars are Halchen. And so you can see that out towards the third quarter of 2022, fourth quarter of 22, and going into 2023, there is activity related to cranes for Halchen. And essentially the project scope there is that both cranes on platform Halchen will be completely removed from the platform. Obviously that's a very significant engineering project effort. One of the cranes will be returned, and that's the south unit crane, which will be returned to Halchen after its complete rebuild and refurbishment. And that'll be reinstall unit crane 53. That's in the fourth quarter of 2022. That small yellow bar down there. So that's the current planning. There's also gonna be a portable crane that's gonna be installed on Halchen to replace the north crane. And that's planning for install the third quarter of 2022. Also sticking with Halchen, the upper half of the planning schedule, you'll see again, there's construction planning and there's a section for Hogan and a section for Halchen. So if you can focus on the yellow bars there to the right of the Halchen list, call that be rows 18 through 26. There's a lot of work that is currently planned for Halchen in 2022, starting in the first quarter and through the rest of the year. Now I do wanna caveat that this is a planning schedule. And I would suspect that most of you are familiar with planning. Planning is great. It's the process of planning that's the most important thing. But generally, the plans are only as good on the paper the day you put them down. Plans likely change somewhat to very dramatically. We do anticipate that in the current in the current year, you're all familiar with the current supply chain issues, labor issues, and so forth. So even though we've done a lot of engineering and upfront planning and procurement, there's no way to guarantee that these plans and this schedule will be even remotely held to. We have no guarantees. A lot of this is out of our control with other vendors and supply chain issues. So this is, if you will, our best guess. But it is a plan that has been approved by ConocoPhillips and been essentially issued to Beacon West to follow through with. So that's the plan that we're working with. But I can almost guarantee that the schedule will change. Okay, the next thing we're gonna do is go into the particular variance petition findings. I'm gonna turn this section over to John to review each of these.
John. Morning, everybody. Happy New Year. I'm gonna go over the findings here and Beacon West response to the findings. You'll note that under each regulation, I'm citing the actual regulation, so I'm not going to read all those verbatim. They're just grabbed directly from the rule or the condition to indicate specifically what we're currently in violation of. So the first finding is that the applicant is in violation of district rule or Health and Safety Code 41701, visible emissions. The first rule that we're currently in violation of is Rule 325E. Section E of Rule 325 is the requirement to control produced gas at all times. And you can see the rest of the verbiage of that. That's directly from the rule. Beacon West response to Rule 325E violation finding is that there are currently no emissions of produced gas. Emissions are managed as a precaution to reduce pressure buildup while the platform is being maintained for future decommissioning. We're currently unable to repair internal valve leaks on the wellheads until the well bay deck grating and handrails, wellhead inspection, and flare system repairs are completed and authorization to make well repairs. Keith, I'll let you drive here. The second rule for finding number one that we're currently in violation of is District Rule 331, Sections D through I. That would be the general requirements, repair, inspection, record keeping, reporting, test methods, and compliance schedule that we're currently unable to meet due to the conditions of the platform. Beacon West response is the current condition of platform limits well bay access to essential personnel only. And that leaks found may not be reparable or may result in further leakage. I think the pictures of the wellheads there speak for themselves in that regard. The last rule that Platform Houchin is currently in violation of is District Rule 359 D2B for flares, that the flare shall be equipped with an auto ignition system and operate with a flame present at all times. There's currently no gas supply, so we're not able to comply for that reason. Our response is recertification of the flare requires a working south crane to perform inspection and subsequent repairs of the flare boom. Further inspection of the piping system and components, an additional process engineering and risk assessment for use of a propane fuel source as there is no produced gas available on the platforms. That's the work that lays ahead for the flare. The Rule 206 permit conditions the Platform Houchin is currently in violation of are The 9C1B5 is requirement to do maintenance, oil changes, if you will, on both engines, which are currently out of service, so we're not able to do maintenance on them. The same would apply 9C1B6 for the emergency backup generator and fire water pump and well kill pump, all out of service, unable to do that maintenance on it. 9C2A through D mirrors the Rule 331 rule limits. 9C6B 2 through 4 mirrors 359B2. 9C9 mirrors rule 325 for control of produced gas. Beacon West response is there's no operating equipment on the platform right now, only non-operational equipment requiring major overhaul or replacement. And two, platform deck repairs limited by lack of working cranes are impediments to accessing and using any of the facility. Finding number two, the non-compliance due to conditions beyond applicant's reasonable control and requiring compliance would result in an unreasonable taking of property or closing of business. Beacon West responsive, the platform is non-operational and pending decommissioning. Closure of the BSEE agreed to monitoring and maintenance activities may simply delay safe decommissioning of the platform. The platform is left in disrepair and unattended by the previous operator, resulting in significant deterioration of the platform and equipment. Ongoing and continued platform inspection and repairs occurred during 2021. There is very limited operating equipment currently, just one crew boat.
This is Keith. I just wanted to make one comment here in regards to the taking of property. And from Conoco's position, there is no taking. It's not their property from their position.
Finding number three, such taking is without corresponding benefit in reducing pollution. Our response is the platform is no longer producing. All wells are shut in pending well plug and abandonment. We understand that all production equipment has been flushed with seawater, depressured and isolated by the previous operator, and therefore no associated emissions. The platform is slated for decommissioning by BSEE. The remote offshore location results in no potential impact to the public. The current potential to emit from deck drain tanks, which are only from deck drain tanks, which contain primarily deck drain water and one crew boat. The deck drain tank contents, total vapor pressure, are below the vapor recovery requirement thresholds. Number four, the applicant has considered curtailing operations in lieu of a variance. Our response is all production of hydrocarbons has ceased since post-lease relinquishment by Signal Hill. Curtailment of the maintenance and monitoring activities would have negligible emissions impacts while delaying the ability to undertake well P&A activities. BSEE required maintenance and monitoring per partial stay agreement would conflict with any curtailment. Crew boat operations are in full compliance. There is currently no other operating equipment. Finding number five, the applicant will reduce emissions to the maximum extent feasible. Our response, there are minimal emissions from the ongoing maintenance and monitoring program, and further emissions minimization efforts will be implemented during the 2022 variance period. The facility is no longer in production. We plan to implement a soap solution screening of accessible well bay components. Repairs to detected leaks will be made where safely possible. Do note that the soap screening will be performed up to the commencement of the Houchin well bay deck repairs in quarter four. That means we'll be able to sooner than later begin snooping, as they call it, the well bay components. But once the well bay undergoes construction project, that area will not be accessible for soap screening during the construction project and will be able to recommence after construction is completed. We're hoping we could actually get an outfit like Montrose out at that point to comply fully with Rule 331. Do note that the repair of leaks
we lost you, John. Can you folks still hear me? This is Keith.
Yes.
Okay, hold one second. I'm going to go next door and see if John knows that he's been. Nobody can hear. Hold on, just 1 minute. I'll be right back. Hi, folks. Keith, I'm here back. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, John's got a microphone issue, so he's going to try and troubleshoot that. In the meantime, I'll continue here. So I believe we're on finding five. Applicant will reduce emissions to maximum extent feasible. Our response, there are minimal emissions from the ongoing maintenance and monitoring program, and further emissions minimization efforts will be implemented in 2022. Now, John covered this slide, so I'm going to move on, if that's okay. Explicit finding number six, applicant will monitor and report emissions. Beacon West response, permanent emissions will continue to be reported semi-annually as required by PTO. Excess emissions from well venting through the flare stack will continue to be reported as they are on a monthly basis currently. Implicit findings. Finding number one, operation under variance, not a nuisance. Beacon West response, cessation of oil and gas production, limited equipment operation, and remote offshore relocation ensures no nuisance potential. Item two, other requirements to guarantee expeditious compliance with emission standards or increments of progress. Beacon West response, the maintenance and monitoring schedule is evolving, as I explained in the previous slide with the Gantt chart. As access to platform areas increases and additional inspections are completed, these activities will continue in 2022. Increment of progress timelines in the variance order are requested to be aligned with the evolving facility schedule. Okay, the next slide. Now these were the RR, the Houchin, platform Houchin variance increments of progress proposed by the Air District. And you can see there's a number of them here, five. The first one, apply for a district permit, receive permit completeness letter for the Bullfrog crane or approved portable crane device. Proposed date is March 31, 2022. Beacon West would like to recommend that we push that date out to April 30 of 2022. And the reason for that is, as I mentioned earlier, supply chain issues and procurement issues. The procurement process for the crane is still ongoing. We do not have an approved PO from the various vendors involved with this project. Application process is planned for submittal. The application for the portable crane permits, that application submittals are pending Q1 2022, so this quarter. And there's we're requesting additional time to allow for district completeness determinations associated with that permit process. So suggesting pushing that one out to April 30, 2022. The next one is complete repairs of handrails and grading in the well bay. If you recall the picture I showed of the well bay area, the raised decking there, proposed date for that, district proposed date for that is June 30, 2022. Beacon West proposed date, we propose to push it out to December 31 of 2022. And the reason for that is the installation of the portable crane is not even planned to be installed until the third quarter of 2022. Once the crane's situation is resolved on Houchin, the first priority will be level one platform repairs. And these are the safety priority level one repairs. So it's decking, handrails, stairways, grading, all the things that you need to have in place to have anybody on the board safely. So those repairs will happen first, and then we'll do the well bay repairs after that, is what we're proposing. And the project execution plans for that well bay repair work and all that other repair work have not been developed yet. All we've done is engineering and planning at this point. Associated with that, I say all that we've done, that's a lot actually of work. But anyway, there's a lot of work to be done there. And so we're proposing to push that date out to December 31, 2022. Install of the bullfrog crane or approved device. I mentioned previously that there's a couple of portable cranes that we intend to install onto Platform Houchen after the existing platform cranes are removed. Again, those are very large projects. Currently, the Bullfrog crane install is planned for the third quarter of 2022. And we're suggesting a proposed date of September 30, 2022 for that. Removal of the south crane for repair. District proposed date is January 4, 2023. Beacon West can accept that date. And repair of the flare, January 4 of 2023. Beacon West can accept that date. I do want to note, similar to my caveat related to the schedule I provided earlier, is that there are significant delays associated with supply chain and labor shortages throughout the industry and other industries, even your own households, my household for that matter, and we're waiting on a washer and dryer. And there's facility unknowns. As we get into these facilities and we investigate and we plan, oftentimes we'll run into situations where what we thought was there was not the reality of the situation. After further evaluation and engineering review, and that makes us have to step back and replan, change the plan and modify our schedule accordingly. So there are a number of risks associated with the current schedule and the schedule going forward. In the event, however, that we incur any of these delays, we do understand that there's the opportunity to apply for an extension to the increments of progress, and we would certainly plan to do so.
Can you guys hear me now?
I can hear you, John.
Okay, sorry.
I can hear you.
Sorry about that. Thanks for taking over, Keith.
Okay, I think we're in the Q&A part of this. Open for discussion, I guess. I'm happy to show any of those pictures or the Gantt chart again. Just let me know what you would like to look at, and I'm happy to get us back there.
Board members, do you have any questions?
None.
Mr. Chair, this is Lee. I guess, and part of it is maybe I'm just gonna vent a little frustrations here. You know, we're looking at 2 years to get the cranes, you know, and I just did a quick Google search online here, and cranes appear to be available out there. I mean, I look for Bullfrogs, I look for companies that do cranes and things like that. And the drilling industry has a low number of wells being drilled compared to in the past. And so I guess I'm voicing an extreme frustration that we're looking at a minimum of 2 years that we've been waiting for a crane in order to do work. And I don't think that's acceptable.
I don't recall who that was, but board member, appreciate your comments. I'm not sure I can support the idea of just doing a quick Google search. That's not exactly what we would consider a thorough procurement process.
No, I understand that. And so, you know, don't patronize me on this, okay? I've been involved with major industrial projects, and this is Mr. Cox, throughout many, many years. And so I've been involved in some major stuff. And I'm not to imply that just because I found something, it works. But my implication here is 2 years is a really, really long time to find something. And then to essentially say at the beginning of presentation, we know because of supply chain issues that it's going to probably be longer. So we're looking at 3 years or so before we can do anything like that. I just find that as shocking that it takes that long to find the key component, the key item that's needed to really do significant work out there.
If I could jump in here, Keith, and please take over here. It's not just finding the crane. I think the cranes, we have found cranes as well. It's a preparation for the entire process. Given the status of the platform.
Yeah, Mr. Cox, again, appreciate your comments. Believe me, we do share the frustration. The 2 years, note that when you say 2 years, you're including 2021 in that. We intend to have cranes on the platform, you know, towards the third quarter, fourth quarter of 2022. That is ConocoPhillips' intention and ours as well. This past year, there's been a significant number of hours, engineering hours, associated with not only finding a crane that's correct for an offshore installation, but recall that these cranes, we're going to be taking these cranes off the platform, and then we're going to send them to Louisiana to be completely rebuilt, and then they're going to be returned, and then we have to reinstall them on the current platform structure, and then we've got to certify them and so forth. And then we have the vendor associated, I'll call them supply chain issues, associated with the vendor itself. We're not doing the work. The vendor's performing all of the reconstruction, if you will, of the crane. So it's also their timing that we're incorporating into our timing. So it's a number of aspects. I certainly understand the frustration, and I'll do my best to try and explain it, but it is what it is, and we are moving forward. I can guarantee you that. As I said, there's been a significant hours of engineering and procurement work put into cranes, and there is a plan in place. There are authorities for expenditure, in other words, dollars that have been placed into these cranes. There's roughly $6 million planned. No, actually it's closer to $7 million planned on repairing cranes in the next year. Those dollars have been, if you will, allocated and assigned. So it is happening, but I do appreciate the comment on timing. And apologize if I was patronizing in any way.
Understand, thank you.
Other questions from board members?
I just wanted to reinforce, I think, Mr. Cox's comment. I mean, this seems a little bit like a deja vu. I think it was last, March, that this committee heard the need for a variance, and it was granted. The Gantt chart shows frighteningly little progress during 2021. And so I do understand that engineering and other things were initiated, but I don't quite understand why there wasn't further progress in moving forward with what needs to be done on the cranes during this next variance request. And if we look at the deadlines for the final deadlines, the two that were accepted by the applicant, that puts us right up against another a variance request a year from now. So it's frustrating. I would not envy being in the position that Beacon West is in. You've inherited an absolute mess of a facility, which brings me to something that really is larger than this hearing, and it's larger than Beacon West, and it's larger than the Santa Barbara County APCD, which is a tendency of these facilities to go from majors to undercapitalized LLC organizations. In this case, it was Pacific Operators Offshore, that then abandon the facility either through bankruptcy or just literally walking away, leaving a mess like this. And that's something that really, I think, at the federal level should be addressed. And I know that's not a part of this particular hearing, but it is an expression in part of a larger policy concern and an issue that should be raised.
Any more questions or comments from board members? I have one question. Has it been considered by Beacon West, ConocoPhillips, considering the fact that apparently this platform, at least, is falling apart beneath your feet as you work on it. What is the likelihood that the infrastructure ultimately will not support a complete plug and abandonment project?
Mr. Dressler, that's a great question. I'm not in a position to answer that, but I can provide at least some commentary around it. I can tell you that part of the engineering work that is currently undergoing is an evaluation of the complete structure of the platform. And that work continues. And into 2022, we have what's called level 2 and level 3 inspections, which are more intense evaluations of the platform support structures, both subsea and topsides. And so we'll know a lot more after that, but the current thinking at least is that the structure is able to maintain or to sustain a year or two of P&A operations. It will require a fair amount of rebuild, meaning deck plating and a lot of things that we've already talked about. And you'll see some pictures of that when we go through the Hogan presentation. But my view, and I guess it's my opinion based on my involvement with the engineering staff and others, is the platform will be able to sustain a P&A project as soon as it gets started. And that is obviously BSEE's intention, is for this platform to be decommissioned as soon as possible. And so everybody's working towards that that direction.
I have a further question on finding number 6, which relates to the quantification of emissions. Given the condition of this, where do you have instrumentation measuring the leakage? It's obviously not after the crack and the pipe going up to the flare. And what type of equipment are you using? Is it an insertion meter, a displacement flow meter? How are you reporting to the district the fugitive flow out of the wells?
Can handle that. All the excess emissions are from internal wellhead leaks that are being vented through the flare head or through the flare stack. There is a displacement flow meter in the flare stack. Accurate. We found it to be accurate. And we have been reporting those emissions in the last year.
Does that answer your question, Dr. Colomay?
Yeah, it does. I'm just surprised that there's any analytic equipment that's functioning on that, but the displacement meter, it requires no power, is that correct? So you're not, yeah, okay. Yeah, it does.
Okay. Do we have... I'd like to hear from the district. District?
Sorry, I apologize. I couldn't find my mouse to unmute myself. I do apologize for that. There was a delay. So the district does support the variance with the increments of progress and the due dates. If the hearing board would like to change those due dates, the district is open to that. We would just, ask that you look at if the revisions are made to the due dates, that they are done as expeditiously as possible. Let me see, I'm sorry, I have a list here. And that they are allowed to revise, come back in and request a modification to the increments of progress. That's in the health and safety code that will allow them to do that. And that
the proposed increments of progress are being included because this is an extension of the 1 year variance. And so per the health and safety code, increments of progress are required to be included for variances that are granted for greater than 1 year. And there is a variance oversight program, which is CARB, the California Air Resource Board. And that's it. We need the increments of progress in the variance request.
Is there an ongoing enforcement case against specific offshore operators?
This is Caitlin McNally with the Air District. I can respond to that. We do have some violations that were outstanding for Pacific operators offshore. However, they were administrative. They were record keeping and reporting requirements. And as far as we are aware, Pacific Operators Offshore is effectively no longer in existence. We've worked with council to try to pursue closing those out with them, but have had no luck to date. There were no outstanding emissions violations at the time that they walked, though, because we had been unable to inspect the platform for a period of time due to no access.
Okay. Any further questions?
One more question for the applicant, and that's whether you have received the POs in this case from the funder Conoco as you've felt the need for them. Have you had good compliance from Conoco to provide you with the resources that you need, particularly given the slow demonstrable success during 2021?
Yes, Conoco has been very responsive and very much a working partner in this project.
Okay. Any other questions?
Are the conditions of the variance going to be presented during this hearing?
They should be.
We'd like to see them.
Has the district come up with conditions of the variance recommendation?
Yes, the draft variance staff report and attachments were all included. They're available on our website. I believe they were linked in the public notice. Is that correct, Lorena? Or in the agenda? Oh, you're muted.
They're not linked on the agenda, but they are found on our website.
Have those conditions been amended since our meeting with the district last week or a week and a half ago?
No, the conditions remain the same because we didn't get any additional information from you to change those conditions.
And I lied, there is a link on the agenda to where everything else is linked.
That's satisfactory, John.
Would the district mind reciting the conditions so we can all understand what they are verbally? Would that be okay, assuming there's not too many?
Is that something the district should do or the hearing board or the clerk? We've not done that in prior meetings, but I'm happy to, or we're happy to do whatever.
We're specifically interested, I suppose, that the increments of progress are the proposed by the district. And is there a possibility that they could be amended based on this meeting today and the factors that we provided to our proposed dates? We had discussed soap screening as a method for potential leak detection. I'm sorry I didn't loop back and review these on your website. So I'm wondering what the conditions are, but I guess I can quickly review them.
If You'd like I could share my screen with the conditions?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was sort of expecting that was part of this process. I thought that you could, with variance order, what would that look like if the board is indeed voting on the order today? I thought we could take a quick look at the order and the conditions and sort of all be on the same page.
Hey, John, this is Amy. I also just sent in the group chat or the group messaging the link to the district's website where that information is located.
I'm jumping right there. But I just thought it'd be helpful if we all got on the same page, if we could kind of review the order real quick and look at the conditions and understand what's being potentially approved today. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Chair Dressler, would you like me to share my screen with the conditions?
Yes, please. Why don't you do that?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Can everyone see?
Yes.
The condition. Yes. So, yes, page 4 is where the hearing board orders are contained, including the increments of progress in condition 1 and the monitoring in condition 2. And further, the record keeping and reporting in condition 4. I can stay at the increments of progress since that seemed to be the item of most discussion.
And item number 2 is of interest to us as well. If we could kind of review that based on our presentation, we'd appreciate some input on this. As Keith pointed out, he pointed out a table with our proposed dates based on the realistic situation out there. The district has included stuck with their proposed dates. We appreciate that. Those do not match our timelines. So given these increments of progress, if this order is approved as such, we will likely have to go back to the board for a modification of these dates based on our schedule. Never had to do that before. I'm sure it's an administrative process that's doable, but we could likely look at having to do that as early as a couple months from now for item number 2. Given that March 31st is shy of 3 months from now, and we are still working with the vendor and the procurement process to be able to define what the permit application should look like, we simply requested an extension of 1 month from March 31st for item 1A1B because it's for permit completeness. The district takes 30 days, is allowed 30 days for permit completeness. And our internal schedule is to have the application submitted to the district by the end of March. And then the completeness time would push that out another month. So that was specific to the first pending deadline. And then the other deadlines we were not able to accept, we explained our proposed dates and the reasons for those. So for item number 1, I know it's to the chagrin of the board, but this project is moving along at the pace that we've explained and for the reasons cited. So it's likely for the conditions the increments of progress we weren't able to, we won't able to likely meet. We will likely have to come back to modify those dates. I'd like to, item number 2, the district, we spoke about our ability to do soap screening. It's a very crude leak or no leak if there's a bubble. So I am interested to see. So we can certainly 2B list the areas that we surveyed with soap solution, the date and time, the leak detection method used, and the list of all leaks found. Is that the last D, the last item? And E, leaks repair, date and time repair. So our challenge would be with D. It's a very subjective almost a bubble. When you observe bubbles, we will do our best to report the bubbles that we've found. And if that's satisfactory, we'll be able to do that. It'll be, I'm not quite even sure how we're gonna be reporting the bubbles. That's, the leaks will be indicated by bubbles.
Okay. Well, that's our input on item number two.
Item number three. Do you have a response?
I just want to say one more thing about that. Oh. We think it's a good idea to do soap screening, and we, like we said, it's repairs may be difficult, or we may exacerbate the leaks due to corrosion. If you try to take a wrench to one of those things, it may just make it worse. We hope that was clear. We think the screening with soap solution is not a bad idea, and we hope to somewhat reduce emissions by that. But we feel that the reporting of this will be somewhat crude. But there will be some reporting. I'm not sure if the district has ever had soap screening record keeping and reporting before. And if you have required that, we'd appreciate any kind of input and guidance you could provide on that. Otherwise, we'll do our best.
So from the district's perspective, we are happy to assist with any changes that the hearing board agrees with to the dates for the increments of progress. Like Amy said, our biggest priority is making sure that the compliance is achieved as expeditiously as possible. We didn't have the information that was presented during this meeting by Beacon West about the dates that they were planning on performing these increments when we put these dates together. That wasn't available yet. So if the hearing board would like to change them to match what Beacon West is requesting, we can certainly do that. And regarding the condition two for the leak surveys, I think we can work with Beacon West on getting records that'll ensure that those areas are being surveyed regularly by the soap screening method and that they're doing their best to repair leaks. Of course, our biggest priority is that this platform, hopefully all leaks are minimized as much as possible so that we don't have these fugitive emissions. And I would also like to just say, I recommend that Beacon West prioritize Platform Houchen even over Platform Hogan, since so far Platform Hogan has not had excess emissions. However, it looks like more progress has been made on Hogan versus Houchen. So I just want to point that out, that from the air perspective, Houchen is the highest priority since it has ongoing excess emissions.
Appreciate that. And then lastly is on item number three, we've been doing reporting from venting through the flare header. Is there any changes to condition number three from the previous variants? I'm asking.
I put it up on the screen, but I apologize. I don't have the current variants up. So if you could look at that and compare and let us know if it's different or not, that would be appreciated. Does it look different to you, John?
It's highly similar. I'm sorry, I've just been looking all over your website. I see a staff report. I see links to a staff report. I don't see a link to the draft order. So I appreciate your going through this during the meeting itself.
Attachment 4 on our website.
Attachment 4. Okay, it didn't say, it just... Okay, great. Now I've got it in front of me. Okay. Well, since we were able to cover it in person, I've now reviewed the conditions and we've given our input. So thank you for that. I'll review the Hogan one on the website in preparation of that hearing.
Is the applicant asking for a change in wording or conditions in item number two?
No, I don't believe so. Just item number one.
Correct.
Any further questions? Okay, before we go on to findings and the final order, I'd like to open public comment. Lorena, is there any requests for public comment?
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any requests for a public comment.
Okay, so I'm going to close public comment. So now we have kind of a daunting task ahead of us. We're going to have to address the findings, and we're also going to have to address the conditions. I'd like to hear from the board whether you feel comfortable changing the dates to the dates that Beacon West has requested. Do I hear any input on that? Did everybody hear me? Lorena, am I coming through?
Yep, I hear you loud and clear.
Mr. Chair, this is Lee. I mean, I'm not excited, but I guess it is what it is. You know, and I guess from a board perspective, do we accept the new dates, or do we continue with the old dates, then require them to come back sometime in the future to maybe expand again on status before they get new extended dates? Just a thought.
Chair Dressler, if I may, I can address what the process would be for them to come back so that you have all the information to make that decision. The increments of progress, a modification to the increments of progress would require a new petition from Beacon West to change those. And those can be changed by the hearing board for good cause. So they don't need, the six findings don't need to be made again to do that, just good cause. And supply chain issues is definitely something that falls within you know, a reason to make those changes.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I anticipating this hearing, I remember prior time we've investigated or ruled on this, these platforms, and I lament, like my colleagues here, that progress is slow. I am not sure. I'm not sure that changing the dates for the applicant is going to have the impact that we might wish. This, of course, just to say it, looks to be a pretty much catastrophic failure. And I don't know that, you know, there's much to be done to accelerate the process. That, pardon me if that comes across as, you know, discouraged, but anyway. Conditions aren't improving, and I'll bet we'll be back again to move the dates further into the future. I'm sorry to say that.
I agree with you, Mr. Peters. I think that if we hold their feet to the fire for the dates that the district originally put in the conditions, that we will be back for sure. And then we will change those dates, and then we'll be back again to change them again. And so from my perspective of being realistic about this, that we're stuck in a kind of a position here where we can either grant this variance or not. And if we don't grant this variance, then we have an enforcement action to take. And if the district takes an enforcement action, I mean, even if the hearing board issued an abatement order, what would be the result? What would change? There's nothing, what they can do, they're doing. And so from my perspective, Since the district seems to be pretty much sanguine with the with Beacon West dates, that we give Beacon West their dates this time. And then if when they come back, which I'm sure they will, we take a look at this and determine whether or not, you know, at that time that they are making the progress that they should be making, and then look at what our options are in that situation. I think you're muted, Mr. Peters.
I agree with your remarks. And when you're ready, I'll make a motion to approve the variance.
Before we do that, I'd like to go down the findings just to make sure this is a very tricky variance, I think, because of the condition that the whole facility is in and the fact that the facility is not actually producing anything. It's simply leaking. But I do want to go through and make the findings and make sure that we're on record that we have made the findings. So I would like to go through the findings here. And I think we're all in agreement that the finding can be made that they are, that these this facility is in violation of district rules and permit conditions. I think that the non-compliance, we also can make the finding that this is all beyond a reasonable control of the petitioner. Petitioner came into this situation to clean up a mess. The condition it found the situation that the petitioner never had an opportunity to redress these problems before they occurred. So I think we can make that finding. And the closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit is, I think, a tricky one to make sure, because if the facility is, for all intents and purposes, already closed and has already been taken by the state for all intents and purposes. The lease over which this platform sits no longer belongs to any private entity. But I think that requiring all the leaks be fixed instantly would not result in all the leaks being fixed. So I think we can make the finding that it wouldn't result in any corresponding benefits to reducing air pollution. We can't force the air pollution to be fixed any faster than they can fix it. I think we can also make the finding that curtailing operations, they've considered curtailing operations. There are no operations going on. The operations are curtailed to the greatest extent feasible. They have agreed to minimize emissions as much as possible, and they will quantify, and they have also agreed to quantify and monitor the emissions. We can make those findings. I have one question for the district. Has the district received any air pollution complaints regarding this facility?
We have not received, this is Amy, we have not received any complaints regarding this facility within the last 3 years.
All right, then we can make the finding that this is not going to cause a nuisance. So, Mr. Peters, I'd like to hear your motion.
John, you're on mute.
I move that we approve the variance.
I'm sorry, I had one more input. I'm sorry, I'm just reviewing the variance conditions, and it's a minor one, but the current for Houchin, the current status of the North Crane is a monthly reporting item. We've been indicating the last year the North Crane will not return to service. We can keep that condition and simply say that every month, or we can just strike out 4GI. Sorry, I missed that earlier. Apologize for the interruption.
Mr. Peters, does your motion include that we made the findings and also that we are going to change the date, dates of compliance in the condition to the dates requested by Beacon West?
Yes. Suggesting my motion includes the findings and that we accept the dates as proposed by Beacon West.
Right. Do I have a second for that motion?
This is Lee, I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Lorena, please call the roll.
Dr. Colomé?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Moving on to item G2, will the clerk please read that item into the record?
Item G2, case number 2020-5-M1, to consider a petition for modification of regular variance from District Rules 331D through I, 359D2B, and 206, Part 70 permit to operate 9108-R4, conditions 9C1B5, 9C1B6, 9C1C1, 9C2A, 9C2B, 9C2C, 9C2D, 9C6B2, 9C6B3, and 9C6B4, submitted on December 6, 2021 for maintenance and monitoring requirements. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at Platform Hogan, located on offshore lease track OCS, P166, approximately 8 miles southeast from the city of Santa Barbara.
All right, we'll all take the oath again here. Everybody who's going to give testimony in this for this matter, please raise your right hand. Then after I read the oath, state your name and affiliation to the case and whether you affirm the oath or not. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
John Garnett, Beacon.
Keith Wendell, Beacon West, I do.
Amy Long with the district, I do.
Eric Kett with the district, I do.
Caitlin McNally with the district, I do.
All the witnesses have been sworn in. I'll turn this over to Beacon West so you can run us through the Hogan scenario. And once again, please make sure you address the findings.
Will do. Okay, let me share my screen again.
The green button at the bottom.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, this is the presentation for Platform Hogan, petition for variance. Okay, there's an overall picture of Platform Hogan. Again, this is a similar slide to the one we saw with Halchin, just demonstrates, this is an excerpt from the partial stay agreement between Boehm and Bessie in regards to ConocoPhillips and the other order recipients, in regards to their role and regarding the maintenance and monitoring activities for Platform Hogan. And again, in this order, Bone Bessie order, ConocoPhillips is not considered the operator or the leaseholder, and Beacon West is also not considered the operator, but is the agent for ConocoPhillips in regards to monitoring and maintenance. Platform Hogan facility equipment status. Again, Beacon West and ConocoPhillips are the neither are the owner of the assets associated with Hogan, and Houchin nor are either deemed the operator of the said assets. There is no produced hydrocarbons since the previous operator, Signal Hill, relinquished the leases in 2019. All the wells are shut in, wellhead master valves closed and secure. We understand that all hydrocarbon contained equipment has been flushed with seawater, depressured, and isolated by the former operator, Signal Hill. We also understand that the pipelines associated with the platforms are also isolated and flushed with seawater by the former operator, Signal Hill. There is currently no potable water on the platform and no marine sanitary system that is operational on the platform. There is one crane on the platform that is in limited service. By limited service, what I mean is that currently the Manitowoc, the main crane for the platform on the north side, is in service, but only the whip line is in service, limited to 8,000 pounds. The main blocks of the crane and that part of the system has not been recertified yet, and that is scheduled for first quarter of 2022. The flare is currently out of service and is non-operational. There is significant platform corrosion, which precludes access to walkways, handrails, decking, and stairways, similar to Halchin. Pardon me. Beacon West's current status is to populate the platform. We have two operators that visit the platform daily to perform monitoring maintenance and to support contract work related to the refurbishment of the platform, which is ongoing, which I'll talk more about here shortly. Our role, Beacon West role under the stay agreement and our contract with ConocoPhillips, safety of personnel during the necessary ongoing maintenance and monitoring activities, maintain access for essential personnel only, monitor and maintaining assets to reduce loss of containment, managing permits for all usable equipment, primarily that's the air permit and the MPDES permit again, necessary maintenance for preservation of the platform for decommissioning, establish crane operations for monitoring and maintenance activities. As I mentioned, the main crane, at least whip line only, has been in service since August of 2021. So has not been in service that long in regards to the year. And as I mentioned, the main blocks will are not currently certified, but that is planned to be completed this quarter in 2022. Want to review some ongoing activities through 2021. As I mentioned, the bulk of the activities in 2021, because we were limited with no crane access, was engineering and inspection of the platform, moving forward with additional work associated with the P&A activities. The diagram I'm providing here is the culmination of a lot of that engineering and planning work. It identifies the inspections, extensive inspections that were done on the plus 14 level. That's the level closest to the ocean of the platform. And you can see that the items identified in red on the drawing, those are high priority safety items where access was basically denied until they get repaired. We're currently working through those repairs as we speak. I believe the 14 plus level one work is all done at this point in time. The next level up is production deck, and you'll notice that the entire production deck is red, meaning that almost the entire production deck needs to be replaced. So we are currently in progress of doing that. You'll also notice that the long list of items on the left-hand side, catwalks, deck stairs, grading, so on and so forth, structural beams, are all identified for repair or replacement. And you see several pictures around the diagram indicating kind of those conditions. Note that the big yellow block in the middle of that drawing is the well bay. And there's a comment in there, I'm not sure you can see it, but it reads block access to elevated platform. The entire, there's about a 4 foot high elevated deck throughout the entire well bay on Platform Hogan. That entire structural support system is in bad disrepair. I do have a couple of pictures showing that. That entire deck will be removed here in 2022 to allow safe access. Right now, access is very limited. And just to describe that a little bit, our operations personnel are the only ones allowed in there. And basically they're walking on top of the grating, on top of the beams that they can see to ensure that they're not going to fall through. So that's how we're managing that. Next drill deck up is the drill deck. Again, here it's not, you'll notice that there are, at least at the time of this drawing, there were no high priority areas, but obviously the areas in yellow and the list of items on the side in regards to comments related to additional UT surveys that need to be conducted and additional work that needs to be done there, repair and replacement. The next one is the pipe deck, which is the last deck up. And the same thing here, most of this work had not been done yet, but there's obviously a lot of work, additional UT ultrasonic testing of the decking and grading and handrails and everything else that needs to be done. You'll see again, the long list of items identified for repair and replace for this deck. So what I'm trying to provide you aboard is an idea of all the work that's been going on in 2021 without cranes to enable us to move forward. Again, these platforms are in a significant state of disrepair, and we're doing our best to work through that in a safe and controlled manner. We can't just, fly 50 people out there and start cutting things apart and repairing things. That just isn't going to work. So we're trying to follow a very prescribed and safe method of to do that. Oops. Okay, some current conditions of the platform. You'll see the upper left-hand corner picture is a picture of the well bay. You'll see the conditions of the well heads and the grating. The picture in the middle, upper middle, that's a picture of underneath that raised deck I was describing on the production deck. This is the well bay. You can see that right above the very top of that picture, the significant corrosion of the support structure that supports the grating for the well bay. So we're originally thinking we could just simply replace grating and some handrails and maybe a couple of supports. That project has evolved with further inspection, and now we're going to be removing the entire support structure for the well bay, including all the decking grating. So it's become a much bigger project and will significantly impact the timing of getting in there to do anything in the well bay. You'll see the upper right-hand picture there of one of the structures that's severely dilapidated and is undergoing removal. Lower left, picture of deck plating that's been delineated by the orange stripes there. Those are basically the way we identify areas for additional UT work or replacement. Lower middle, just stacks of removed dilapidated grating, and same thing on the far right, stacks of removed handrails that are no longer safe. This next set of pictures is ongoing progress. The right-hand side, you'll see the new decking that's been installed in one section of the platform. In that upper middle picture, you'll see the whole upper deck has been delineated in preparation for further UT, that's ultrasonic inspection, and deck replacement. The far right, upper right corner is that little porch section I showed previously that was dilapidated. It's since been, that's the picture of the install of the new porch area. bottom middle. The only way to get on these platforms is by swing rope. The previous swing rope structural attachments underneath the upper deck were in severe disrepair, and we have since repaired those support structures to enable safe swing rope access to the platforms. And then the bottom right is just another picture of decking that is in the progress of being repaired. And you'll notice in this picture, the handrails have all been removed and been replaced by other structures for safe safe work. But those handrails will all be shortly repaired or replaced, as part of the ongoing project. So a lot of work has been happening in 2021. Most of the real work, physical work, has been happening since August. So there's been a significant amount of progress, but we're certainly not there yet. this is the same project planning schedule I showed during the Houchin presentation. This time you can focus on Hogan, the Hogan categories. Those are the blue bars. Level one repairs, they're on line items 4 and 8. Fire system water repairs, flare system repairs, and then in the lower section are cranes, installation of the RT crane. That's, if you will, it's a rough terrain or a rubber tire crane. And then the unit crane removal on Platform Hogan as well are all planned for relatively early in 2022. And then there's a lot of work that's obviously you don't see on this chart because it's all been rolled up to make it easier to view. But there's a lot of other work associated with each of these projects that's not listed. That's also planned for 2022. okay, at this point, I think I'll turn it over to John to run through the petition findings.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Great. I'm going to run through the findings for Hogan. I just want to point out that the primary differences in the rules and conditions were in violation of for Hogan versus Houchin is we do have an operational north crane, whereas we had no cranes at all on Houchin, and there is no venting on Hogan. So we have fewer things that were in violation of on Hogan versus Houchin. Finding number one, application is in violation of a district rule. We are in violation of district rule 331D through I. And that's the fugitive emissions. Normally we would have a contractor come out and sniff for leaks with a TVA. We're unable to do that because the platform can't accommodate non-essential personnel. Our response is the current condition of platform limits well-bay access to essential personnel only, and that the leaks found may not be reparable or may result in further leakage if repairs are attempted. Applicant in violation of a district rule, through 359D2B, the requirement to have an operable flare with an auto ignition system and shall operate with a flame present at all times. The recertification of the flare requires a working south crane to perform the inspection and subsequent repairs of the flare boom and piping and the system components. Additional process engineering and risk assessment for use of propane fuel source as there is no produced gas available on the platforms. Keith, and I'm not sure if you want to weigh in at all about propane and what that would entail or not. There's some risks involved with that.
Yeah, sure, John, I'll jump in. I do want to comment too on the south crane. In regards to this comment, the north crane will not reach the flare boom on Platform Hogan. So we need the south crane or a portable crane to get in there and to do further inspection work of the structural supports for the flare system on that side of the platform. In regards to the propane fuel, the current plan is to work towards either getting the flare into service, which will include the need to transport propane onto the platform. It's going to be a significant effort. We'll be adding a lot of risk with bringing propane fuel onto the platform. Obviously, these are very large, 300 to 500 cubic foot cylinders of propane that'll be needed to be lifted onto the platform probably twice a month. which adds a significant risk to overall already high risk situation. So we're not, it's not our best solution, but we're continuing to work at look at other options for the flare situation on Hogan.
Appreciate that, Keith. So do know that we are not seeking a variance from Rule 325 because there is no or venting, there's no produced gas, there's nothing that requires a vapor recovery system currently on Hogan. So compliance with the flare requirement will likely just result in us burning gas that's not controlling anything and potential excess emissions associated with that. But nonetheless, that's part of our plan is to come into compliance and get the flare back into service according to the schedule. Finding number one, the applicant will be in violation of permit conditions. You'll see that 9C1B5 is the South Crane. We will not be able to perform maintenance on the South Crane because the South Crane is not currently operable. Do note that in the Houchin petition, both the North and South Crane were listed here. We are able to comply and have complied, have started to comply with the maintenance requirements for the North Crane. 9C6, maintenance requirements for the emergency backup generator, fire water pump, and well kill pump. Those engines are not in operation, not operable, and therefore we cannot conduct maintenance on them. I want to point out that the district was very helpful in proposing some permit modifications, solutions by permitting that we have applied to to have monitoring and source testing requirements not be required in the permit if the equipment is not operational. So that addresses the South Crane source testing, for instance. Excuse me, there's a lot going on here. But we did some permitting solutions to actually reduce the number of variance conditions that we need to seek protection from, just so you know. With the South Crane being non-operational, we don't have to seek a source testing variance because it's not operational. We permitted our way out of that. The North Crane, now that it is operational, we are still unable to accommodate a source testing trailer out there. So we can't conduct full-blown source testing for the North Crane yet, even though it's operational in limited operation on platform Hogan. But we have commenced the quarterly NOx box testing of the North Crane on Hogan. The fugitive emission components mirror Rule 331. On a previous slide, and the combustion flare condition mirrors Rule 359B2. Our response to this finding is that there's no operating equipment currently on board with the exception of the North Crane. An existing non-operational equipment requires major overhaul or replacement. And two, the delay of platform deck repairs due to lack of South Crane is an impediment to access and use of portions of the facility. Finding number two, non-compliance due to conditions beyond applicant's reasonable control and requiring compliance would result in unreasonable taking of property or closing of business. Our response is the platform is non-operational and pending decommissioning. Closure of the monitoring and maintenance activities may simply delay safe to decommissioning of this platform. The platform is left in disrepair and unattended by the previous operator, resulting in significant deterioration of platform and equipment. Ongoing and continuous platform inspection repairs occurred during 2021. And there's very limited operating equipment on Platform Hogan, just one crane and one crew boat. Finding number three, such taking is without corresponding benefit in reducing pollution. Our response, the platform is no longer producing. All wells are shut in pending well plug and abandonment. We understand that all production equipment has been flushed with seawater, depressured and isolated by the former operator Signal Hill, and therefore there are no associated emissions. The platform is slated for decommissioning by BSEE. Remote offshore location results in no potential impact to the public. And the current potential to emit is only from deck drain tanks, which contain primarily deck drain water, one crane and one crew boat.
the crane and crew boat that are operating currently in compliance with district requirements. The deck drain contents, total vapor pressure are below the vapor recovery requirement threshold. So again, there's nothing on Platform Hogan that currently requires vapor recovery control right now. Finding number four, the applicant has considered curtailing operations in lieu of a variance. Response, all production of hydrocarbons has ceased post-lease relinquishment by Signal Hill. Curtailment of the maintenance and monitoring activities would have negligible emission impacts while simply delaying the ability to undertake well P&A activities. The Bessie maintenance and monitoring partial stay agreement would be in conflict with any curtailment. Curtailing operations of the operational North Crane, the only current platform-based operational equipment aside from the wastewater tanks, would delay ongoing platform repairs which are required to monitor and maintain the platform as required by Bessie. The North Crane and the crew boat operations are in full compliance. Finding number five, the applicant will reduce emissions to the maximum extent feasible. There are minimal emissions from ongoing maintenance and monitoring program, and further emissions minimizations efforts will be implemented during the 2022 variance period. The facility is no longer in production. The soap solution screening of accessible well bay components will be implemented in April 2022 following well bay repairs. So Keith, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the well bay repairs are pending or are underway, and they will be completed enough as of April 2022 for us to begin soap solution screening. That soap screening will not therefore commence until April. Repairs to detected leaks will be made where safely possible. Do note that repairs may not be possible, and if attempted, may increase leakage. Platform crane and crew boat are operating at minimal levels to support required maintenance and monitoring. Item number six, the applicant will monitor and report emissions. A response, permit emissions will continue to be reported semi-annually as required by the air permit. There are currently no excess emissions on Platform Hogan. The implicit findings. Implicit finding number one, operation under variance is not a nuisance. Our response, cessation of oil and gas production, limited equipment operation, and remote offshore location ensures no nuisance potential. Implicit finding number two, other requirements to guarantee expeditious compliance with emission standards or increments of progress. Our response, the monitoring and maintenance schedule is evolving as access to the platform area increases and additional inspections are completed. These activities continue in 2022. Increments of progress timelines in the variance order requested to be aligned with evolving facility schedule.
Thanks, John. All right, I'm gonna review the Hogan increments of progress table. The district has proposed a number of increments of progress and proposed dates. And we want to just comment on those. So the first one is complete repairs and handrails of the grading in the well bay. The APC proposed date is March 31, 2022. In the pictures, I provided you some view of the condition of the well bay decking, which is how you access the well heads. And I may also mention that that project has changed significantly from simply repairs to handrails and grading to permanent removal of all that entire deck, which is the length of the platform deck, as you may recall that picture in the red of the production deck area. So we'll be removing all of the supports, grading, handrails, and stairways associated with that elevated deck instead of making repairs. So that's a little bit of a change in the project. Also, we've recently identified through our preparations for that work, which is slated for this quarter, that there's some lead-based paint associated with the structural supports. And so we've got to change up our plans again to account for the lead-based paint special handling needs. So final project planning is in progress. We should complete that planning here likely this month and start that project. I'm very unsure that we can meet the March 31, 2022 deadline. that's identified as a proposed date and are proposing to move it out to the following quarter, June 30 of 2022. Install of the rubber tire or rough terrain crane on Platform Hogan. Proposed date is March 31, 2022. Beacon West can accept that date. Removal of the south crane on Hogan for repair. Proposed date by the district is June 30, 2022. We believe we can accept that date also. Repair the flare. Proposed date is September 30, 2022. we believe we can accept that date also. Installation of the south crane and begin operating it. Proposed date is January 4, 2023. I would like to have that description revised to be just install operational crane. indications are on the increments of progress, install south crane and begin to operate it. Just seems like the district is overreaching in instructing us to operate the crane. We think it's inclusive to installing the crane that it will be operated. Anyway, in regards to that date, we would like that date pushed out to March 30, 2023. Again, as we discussed with the Houching cranes, getting the south crane off the platform, getting it refurbished, getting it back to the platform, reinstalling it is a significant project. It likely will take us all year to get there based on our procurement discussions and engineering discussions with the vendor. We also, you know, we already talked about supply chain issues and labor shortages, which affect the vendor. That's a very much a reach goal. We think it's safer to push that one out to March 30 of 2023 instead of January of 2023. During that time, we will have an operating crane on Hogan. We'll also have the rubber tire crane installed on Hogan also at that time. So we will have two cranes on Hogan, which will enable us to move a bit quicker with platform repairs and so forth associated with other aspects of the platform and getting this other stuff back together. So those are our comments on the increments of progress. And at this point, I think we're in the Q&A and discussion point. Again, happy to go back.
Questions of the applicant for the board, from the board.
I'll go ahead and ask a question. And it really is one for clarification. So in the case of Houching, which is the one where we're focused on the emissions, there were four uncapped wells, is my understanding, that are emitting. And everything is shut in, meaning non-producing in Hogan. Are there any wells that are producing gas? And if not, why not, if they're also not capped?
The wells on Hogan are, as I mentioned in the presentation, the wells on Hogan are all isolated currently. And right now there's no leakage through those isolated valves. On Houchin, master valves on the wellheads are closed, but for whatever reason, when we don't understand what the reasons are, we have leakage through those valves on Houchin that we cannot control without going into the wellheads to fix or repair. So on Houchin, we have a more secured, each well is more secured, if you will, more isolated than the situation on Houchin.
On Hogan, you mean? Yeah.
On Hogan, sorry, yeah.
So what is the, if there aren't, is no leakage at all, is it that once the plug activity is planned that there will be emissions? Why is the flare being refurbished and put into service if there's nothing to burn?
Simply because it's a requirement by the air district.
Correct.
And will there?
Does the air district want to respond to that?
Yes, I can respond. This is Caitlin McNally with the air district. So because there is a potential for fugitive emissions from the wells, a flare is still required to control those potential emissions until the wells are capped and there's no potential for emissions.
If I could respond to that, flares do not control fugitive emissions.
I apologize. I meant emissions that are routed through the flare.
In general, if I can comment, this is Keith with Beacon West. In general, if I can comment, ConocoPhillips and Beacon West position is the flare is not needed for Platform Hogan, and it may be needed when we initiate P&A work activity, which will be sometime in 2023, currently planned. So at this time, there's no need for a flare on Platform Hogan in our view. It's simply a permit requirement being requested to comply with.
But you still want to keep the flare on permit. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're not proposing to remove the flare from the permit. Sorry.
Oh, you want to remove the flare from the permit?
No. Sorry, I misstated. We do not at this time want to remove the flare from the permit.
Okay. So as long as it's a permitted device, it needs to be operational, and that is why we would need to have it brought back into service. But if that changes and Beacon West wants to apply for a permit modification to remove it, that would be reviewed by our engineering division.
Is it possible to keep the flare on the permit but listed as not currently non-operational? I mean, we are up for a reeval right now. Is that a possible unique permitting solution here?
We haven't had those discussions, or I don't believe our engineering division has done that review. So we need to discuss further before we can answer that.
But this just goes back to the potential excess emissions where it's not really controlling anything. We're simply doing it to comply with the permit, but there's no vapor recovery equipment that currently requires a flare on Platform Hogan.
But you might in future activities.
But, well, Caitlin pointed out that they're concerned that we might develop internal well leaks like we have on Houchen. We've shown no evidence of that yet. I do believe there is a plan to use a flare during well plugging activities a couple of years down the road.
Okay. So you're going to need a permit for a flare anyway?
At some point, yes.
At some point, yes.
Okay. Okay. So any other questions from board members? Does the district support this variance?
I don't know if it's morning or afternoon anymore. This is Amy. And the district does support the variance as drafted, including the increments of progress and due dates. The increments of progress with the due dates are included because the extension will go beyond the 1 year period. The health and safety code indicates that anything longer, a variance longer than a year requires increments in progress to be included. The petitioner may return to the hearing board to request a modification of the increments of progress for the health and safety code. The modification may be granted for good cause, for example, for supply chain issues, which means not all the findings have to be made. The proposed increments of progress are being proposed to ensure that the variance requires compliance as expeditiously as practical, which is a consideration that the variance oversight agency, the California Air Resource Board, takes into account, especially with the modification variances lasting over 1 year. The district is open to the revised increments of progress of deadline by the applicant pending the board approval. However, one of the requested increments of progress is beyond the requested variance coverage, and it can't go beyond that. And that is for the installation of the south crane.
So is that March 30th date?
Yes, the March 30th, 2023. So the recommendation is to leave it as January 4th, 2023, because that's the end of the variance, the requested coverage, if this were to be granted.
So basically the hearing board is not allowed to grant an increment of variance that goes beyond the variance itself. Is that correct?
Okay. Correct.
That makes sense. Does the board have any questions for the district? Hearing none, I will open up this to public comment. Lorena, do we have any requests for public comment?
Chair Dressler, we did not receive any public comments.
Okay, I'll close public comment. What's the pleasure of the board here?
I think we have a situation very similar to the previous one. This is our long pregnant pause here is I think a sign of dissatisfaction with the pace of progress and the whole circumstance, part of which is really not the responsibility of Beacon West, but a systemic problem. So I think we need to approve this variance, and I think the conditions have been met to do so.
Okay. I would agree, Chair Dressler. I would agree with my colleague, Ms. Dr. Colome. Similar to the prior variance request, and be ready to move the action.
Right, I have a motion and apparently a second. I will say that Mr. Colome made the motion, Mr. Peters made the second, and I assume that that motion includes the fact that we were able to make all the findings that are necessary and that we are going to maintain the original increments of progress because the request to extend the one increment was beyond the date of the variance. Is that consistent with the motion?
Yes.
I believe there was one increment, an additional increment of progress revision request by Beacon West for the first due date that does fall within the period of the variance.
Will the maker of the motion agree to change that increment of progress date to what Beacon West requested?
Yes.
And will the seconder of the motion agree?
Yes.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Lorena, please call the roll.
Dr. Colome?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Peters?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. We have two variances. The next item is to approve the administrative agenda. Would any hearing board member like to pull any of these items off of the administrative agenda?
Chair Dressler does not appear so.
Then I will entertain a motion to approve the administrative agenda as it is written. Do I have a motion?
I'll move.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second on the administrative agenda. Any further discussion? Lorena, please call the roll.
And just to clarify, we did not receive a public comment on this item either.
All right, thank you.
Dr. Colome?
Yes.
Mr. Cox? Mr. Cox?
Yes. Thank yes.
you. Mr. Peters?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, so that takes us to the end of our meeting today. I will adjourn this meeting to the next hearing board meeting on February 2nd, 2022 at 9:30 a.m.
Thank you, Chair Dressler.
Thank you, Mr. Peter.
We appreciate the district's and the board's time today. Happy New Year again.
Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye.